Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
Our text is from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 13, verses 24 through 37. Today, dear friends in Christ, the church marks the end of the church year. We are reminded that Judgment Day is approaching, when we will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. The Bible makes it clear that Jesus is coming again to gather his elect from the ends of the earth. The one who created the world, who redeemed and restored the world by his death and resurrection, is coming back, as we confessed in the Creed, to judge the living and the dead in his perfect justice. Today marks the end. And if we were in other church bodies today, we might be spending our time talking about Judgment Day and the end of the world and the signs and the news, watching the news, searching the scriptures for secret hidden messages to reveal to us when this is going to occur. I was honestly expecting some church to come out this week, because on Thursday, I think it was Thursday to Friday, from 2 in the morning to like 6 in the morning, there was a lunar eclipse. And I was expecting some nut job to say, well, this was the end coming, or some stupid thing like that. But thanks be to God, you're not in those other church bodies. So today we will not be anxious about tomorrow, but simply deal with today. For as you know all too well, it has enough troubles of its own. It's been almost 2,000 years since Jesus promised his return. And to our weary flesh, this can make his return seem, well, highly unlikely. Even to church-going Christians. Yet we would do well to not focus our attention only on the final day of days, but on our own last day, lest we be caught sleeping and unprepared. For while Jesus promised return in visible glory and with great power, he also promises this: and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again to take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. When he returns, we will all know that Jesus of Nazareth, the one who lived 2,000 years ago, died on the cross to pay for our sins, was buried in the grave and rose on the third day, is Lord of all. For on that day, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He is the very Son of God, our Messiah. So can you be sure he's returning? It's a simple answer: yes. Think about it. Jesus only predicted a couple of things in the scriptures. He predicted that Peter would betray him 3 times before the rooster would crow. And you know, that's happened just as he said. He had predicted that Jerusalem would be overrun and the temple would be destroyed. And in 70 AD, that's exactly what the Romans did. He predicted his own death and resurrection on 3 different occasions, that he would suffer at the hands of the religious leaders, be crucified, and on the third day rise from the dead. And on the third day, God be praised, the tomb was empty and he had risen just as he had said. Today, Jesus is saying that the world as we know it, the sun, the moon, the stars, the constellations, the planets, the galaxies, the vast reaches of space, the inner reaches of the earth, will all be destroyed. And I can assure you, it will happen just as he said. What I can't say is when. And anyone who says otherwise is selling you something and is a false teacher or heretic. Many attempt to avoid the thoughts of the end. Today, you can see it in the obituaries, right? We no longer have a Christian funeral, we have a celebration of life. You see, I'm not saying it's wrong to have fond memories of a loved one who's died, but in the end, you still have to deal with the fact that the loved one is dead. And the only thing that can provide celebration at this time is the death and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who alone conquered death and the grave for all who believe in him. And despite the fact that our culture seems to constantly be screaming it wants to avoid the end, it also seems fixated with the end. I had a little fun earlier this week. I just put it into the Bing and searched to see, songs that have been written, hymns by our culture, if you will, as a pastor friend likes to call them, hymns by our culture about the end of the world, right? There's that REM ditty, "It's the End of the World as We Know It, and I Feel Fine." There's 99 Loof Balloons. There's The Doors, "This Is the End, My Beautiful Friend." All these great songs that have been published that are, oddly enough, upbeat. What was the big hit a couple of years ago? Radioactive, talking about a big nuclear holocaust in a very positive way. How fun is that? So our music, our culture, climate change. I love that one. That one, if you're older, I'm not calling myself old, but if you're older, when I was a kid, I think my mom still has the National Geographic that it was in. Back in the 70s, I had a National Geographic that horrified me. It said we were going to go through another ice age. Then when I got into college, the big news was the greenhouse gases, and we were going to go through the earth burning up. And then Al Gore got a hold of it, and now it's climate change, because they can't decide which, but either one is going to make them some money, so they keep talking about it. Dear friends in Christ, the Lord is going to be the one to destroy this earth. We can make it a living hell if we want and be bad stewards of it, but it's not going to get destroyed until the Lord returns, and then it'll be done with fire. We have fitness fads today. Take this pill, your memory will come back. Take this pill, your joints won't hurt. Take this, and you'll have strength and vigor until you're in your 90s and beyond. Then we have the pandemic fears. The list just goes on and on. All screaming to the Christian, you need to be afraid of dying. Look, we should be good stewards of the earth and our bodies. And as Dr. Soufflot put it so well, dying is not child's play. Yet for the Christian, it need not be feared. Still many more live as if they will never be held accountable for their sinful actions and teachings. This is nothing new. Jesus speaks of this in Luke's gospel. He says, "Just as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be in the last days of the Son of Man. They were eating and drinking and marrying and being given in marriage until the day Noah entered the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all." This is why the call of our Lord today is so important, that we wake up and stay awake. Jesus says, wake up, that is, be alert. Salvation, you see, is coming, a salvation that will last forever. Righteousness is near, a righteousness that will never fail. And yet Jesus says, no one knows the day or the hour. The angels don't. They simply stand ready, watching and waiting for the word, for the harvest to begin. Even Jesus, in his state of humiliation, didn't know the times. He does now in his glory, but he didn't then. He told his curious disciples, because we all, like the national choir used to be, want to know. It's not for you to know the times or the seasons. Just stay awake. Be on guard, keep awake, for you do not know when the time will come. Oh, how easy it is, though, to become so sleepy. As the pseudo-rest offered by the devil and the world and our sinful flesh is very appealing. We are tempted to strive to peer into the hidden things of God, falling once again into the error of thinking that we can be like God, and we know when to know when he is returning, or worse, to decide that he's not coming back, so we desire sleep. We will be tempted to believe that there are many things that are more important than being awake and in faith, and so we wander from the faith, lying to ourselves and others. As if I had a dollar for every time I heard this one, I would have a much better retirement. I can guarantee you this one. Oh, pastor, I pray. I worship God in my own way. You see, These claims may be true. Only God can judge someone's heart. But what isn't true is the one who is speaking this is not practicing the faith the way Jesus did or the way Jesus taught. Be on guard. Our flesh will attempt to lull us to sleep by lying to us because our flesh is weak, to accept the lies of the devil and the world. Wake up, dear friends in Christ. Repent and receive the grace of God, for your sins are forgiven. To encourage us to this wakeful state, Jesus gives us the lesson of the tree and then also the workers in the house, the servants in the house. We are called to be faithful servants, watchful servants, faithful to the task that God has given us. Know this, the children of God will indeed suffer much in this age. The devil will use all our suffering and our sorrow in an attempt to lead us away from God. And if it doesn't work, the devil will use our prosperity and the new growing cult of busyness to lead us away from God. To neatly tuck us in our glory-seeking flesh, and we will seek out those who will tell us exactly what we want to hear. This St. Paul warned the young pastor Timothy, for the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. This time is now, just as it was then. So wake up. For the day of the Lord is coming. The signs are all around us. We are living in the last day as every generation before us since the Lord's ascension has been. It won't be easy. It won't be easy for you believers. But don't be afraid. Christ will soon come again in righteous judgment to take you and all believers in Him to be with Him at His side in the marriage feast that knows no end, as the groom will bring his bride home. Until then, He is at our side in His Word and His sacraments. His coming may be sudden, but it certainly calls us to a life of joyful expectation instead of doom, gloom, and sorrow. Be assured by His coming. Live as a believer who long for the day of His appearing. Pray for the day that the day will be here sooner rather than later. The day when there will be no more headaches or heartaches, no more fears and tears, no more troubles and trials, no more strife and sorrow. Just God's grace in fullest measure and life in it eternal. The Lord desires for you is His return would be not a day of terror, but of triumph in Him. The one who is coming has come that we might live. The babe of Bethlehem became the Good Friday Savior and our Easter hope for the entire world. As Christians, we live in Him now by faith, and on the last day, we will be with Him in love forever. That's good news for us and for all who believe. With faith in Christ, there is forgiveness of our sins and for all people's sins. There is hope when things seem hopeless. There is life in this world of death. With Jesus, we are more than conquerors. That is why Jesus lived and died and rose again for you. And what I say to you, I say to all, Jesus says, stay awake. Or as it's written in Jude so wonderfully, now to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of His glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority, be all time, now and forever. Amen. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. And now may the peace which passes all human understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.